our internal field numbers showed us beating her. We had so much momentum, and you know, she was, Wassermann Schultz was rather reviled even in the district. I think it's one of the myths that she's so popular in this district. I don't buy it at all. Florida Circuit Court granted me summary judgment, and in a 10-page order, found that Snipes had violated all of these federal and state statutes. And when you look at the statutes, some of them are felonies, punishable by years in prison. I don't trust any election result announced in Broward at all, particularly in light of what they did in this past election with me. So I don't think we have a democracy. I really don't. I think we have elections. The Soviet Union had elections. It wasn't a democracy. Saddam Hussein had elections. It wasn't a democracy. We have the spectacle of a democracy with the corporate media playing up the horse race. And, you know, we have elections, but they're rigged elections, I believe. I would like to see the court order a revote under its equitable powers to order that the revote take place with paper ballots counted by hand in public. I really don't want to go through a revote and be at the mercy of the machine again.
With the world being so crazy, I have two great gift ideas to help you and your family stay safe. First, the Shockwave Torch. This tiny tool drops a 260-pound thug in 2 seconds. It packs so much power in such a small package, it's scary. Thank God it's got a safety on it. If you want to stay safe in a dangerous world, I promise the Shockwave Torch will help. Next, I want to show you the Light Defender Tactical Laser. It's a palm-sized device that drops attackers by shooting off electromagnetic radiation. It is legal in most of the U.S., but it has been banned inside 4 different states, and countries across the world have been banning it left and right. This might have something to do with the fact the military uses these devices in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other hostile zones to drop terrorists in their tracks. The U.S. Navy calls it the best emergency rescuing device, and it's so powerful it will even start fires with no matches or fuel required. Click the links below to learn more about the Shockwave Torch and the Light Defender Tactical Laser Tool. There'd be great gifts for your loved ones and family to keep them safe in this crazy world.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Tim Canova on the show. He is coming to talk about the stolen election again from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Brenda Snipes, the corruption swamp over there in Broward County. He's going to walk through all the little details that happen. They have fraud proven. They have felony proven from the last court case against Brenda Snipes. They have so much facts on this, and he talks about what's going on in Broward County. It's one of the most important things we can do is clean up our elections. If we do not pick the true winner in these elections, then you can't count on our democracy. And he does a pretty good case that we are at risk, and he already thinks maybe we already lost our democracy. And I also got some really interesting news about Kim Picasso. For those of you who have been following the Timothy Holmeseth case, Kim Picasso is the one that has a lawsuit from Broward County against Holmeseth on that trafficking case. And I really digged into those documents, and I know that she is a creep. And I have all the public, the court files and everything showing, and audio files and everything. Really recommend that you listen to this. And news is that she's not only the witness that claims that that black truck was legit, because she has all these videos and testimony, which I would never believe her as a witness for anything, but apparently she is now the attorney for the Democrats in Broward County and is going to be at the recount all day long. So let's see what's going on there. So I just want to give you that tidbit. She's the one that's suing Timothy Holmeseth. So let's get into this very, very important conversation with Tim Canova. Hi, Tim. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Very happy to be here. Thanks, Sarah.
You decided to take on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And we know what that means. Broward County, you're right in the middle of the mess. Although they're not giving you much media attention, even though we know that there's some serious problems here.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what are we seeing? What are you seeing?
Well, what we saw in the immediate aftermath of Election Day, of course, was like what I've been calling the double train wreck right here in Broward County, where the U.S. Senate race and the governor's race have both crashed right here in Broward County. And, you know, some folks wonder, why do these election dramas always take place in Florida? Florida is a very evenly split state compared to other big, important electoral college states. New York and California are solidly blue. Texas has been solidly red. But Florida really is a purple state. And, you know, what happened here in the aftermath of the election was that Broward typically did not get their ballots counted on time. In fact, in the primary that we had on August 28th, the day after the primary, Brenda Snipes, the supervisor of elections, her office found, I think, 10,000 ballots magically appeared the day after the election, and they counted those, and it overturned a judicial election. So I had my first experience with Snipes when I ran in 2016 against Wasserman Schultz. And we could talk about that campaign, but the long and short of it is we thought we had her at the end. Our internal field numbers showed us beating her. We had so much momentum, and, you know, she was, Wasserman Schultz was rather reviled even in the district. I think it's one of the myths that she's so popular in this district. I don't buy it at all. Everywhere she goes, she gets heckled, and I think she has a base of support that's solid, but it's not that big a base of support. So anyway, we thought we might have won the race. We, after the dust settled, I put in a public records request to inspect the ballots, and that was the beginning of a big saga where Snipes, her office, stonewalled me for many months. I filed a lawsuit to inspect the ballots, and while the lawsuit was pending, Snipes destroyed all of the ballots. And, I mean, these are violations of federal and state law. She lied to the court about it. She wrongly certified that the ballots were not the subject of pending litigation. It was like a crime spree, to tell you the truth.
And your jaw was just open. I'm surprised she's still there.
Well,
I don't.
Same here. And, you know, when all this came down early this year, she admitted to all of these crimes in videotaped depositions and just tried to explain them as mistakes. And then the court in Florida Circuit Court granted me summary judgment, and in a 10-page order found that Snipes had violated all of these federal and state statutes. And when you look at the statutes, some of them are felonies, punishable by years in prison. And I thought that was going to be a real turning point for our campaign. At least I was hoping it would be, where the floodgates would open, the media blackout would end. It never happened. The governor never fired the supervisor, a Republican governor, Rick Scott.
So there's a problem there. I don't understand that, but keep going.
And none of the prosecutors came forward, whether it was state prosecutors or federal. And again, the prosecutors are all Republican as well. And I had a Republican election lawyer throughout this litigation with the supervisor, mainly because, going back to early in my last campaign, I couldn't find a Democratic lawyer who wasn't conflicted out and who I could trust, you know, when you're running against the head of the DNC. So I got a very good Republican lawyer from a good firm. He did a great job. After we won and there was no response by the governor or by prosecutors, he got back to me and he said he looked into it. And the reason there was no response was that the Republicans, have the same friends as Debbie, as Wasserman Schultz. And I'm like, what do you mean by the same friends? And it's the donor owner class. So they would rather have the status quo with Debbie than to open the door to somebody like me who's so anti-corporate.
You want to get rid of corruption.
Absolutely. And I tell you, that's when I decided to run as an independent earlier this year, when none of the Democrats could give a damn about this corruption. They were implicated in it and none of the Republicans would do anything about it. So I run as an independent. And near the end of this campaign, in the closing weeks, I'd say September and into October, the campaign really started catching fire again. And we were broke the whole time. First campaign, we raised almost $4 million. This time, maybe $500,000, which sounds like a lot, but really the campaign bank account was always near zero.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and how much does she have? Millions?
Millions. And I'll tell you something, Sarah. You couldn't find her anywhere. She hardly spent any money. which was very strange. It's almost like she knew the fix was in. And
which it was. I mean, it's clear.
It's clear. A week or two before the election, there were photographs of Wasserman, Schultz, and Snipes campaigning together. So, I mean, this is, you know, Chris Hedges said the corruption is so bad now that they don't even try to hide it.
They and don't.
That's certainly how it felt here, completely. They admitted they destroyed the ballots. They didn't try to hide the crimes. They were untouchable. They did it with impunity. They campaigned together. And there's nothing we could do about it. And they got the press on their side, the Sun Sentinel and the Miami Herald. So
yeah, because they're not talking about you, which is crazy.
Yeah, I agree. And
you're a Congress position.
Yeah.
You should have won, and nobody's talking about you.
Well,
which is another indication that the mass media is in the pocket of the...
Absolutely, in the tank, no doubt. And, you know, this time... In the closing days, a Republican journal published an article reporting on a Republican poll that I've never seen. And I don't know anyone who has seen it, but it was reported on, and I heard about it through the grapevine. I didn't have the money to do polling. Wasserman Schultz, I'm sure, had plenty of money to do polling. You got to wonder why she never released a poll. That says something right there. And this Republican poll that was reported on had Wasserman, Schultz, and me neck and neck at 34% each, with the Republican back at 13%. When that story broke, that was really the floodgates open. Suddenly, a lot of Democrats who didn't want to split the vote and elect a Republican, they realized they could vote for me. It wasn't going to be a problem. And a lot of Republicans who have been dying to get rid of Wasserman, Schultz, and to crack down on this corruption here.
Switched to you.
Absolutely. And it really seemed like all the energy was coming our way. I knew we had a fighting chance to win this. And then the election, and I should say, we were all over the early voting sites and election day sites. And we had a steady stream of people coming up telling me they were voting for me, unsolicited, you could say. And then there were others who you could kind of just show them a little campaign literature, talk to them for a minute or two, and they would fold like a feather. You know, they'd come our way.
They're just so hungry. People are so hungry for this. I can't understand Debbie Wasserman Schultz being accepted anywhere. I mean, people have to be completely blind. I don't understand.
And there are some blind people. I mean, really, the party stalwarts, the people who get paid to be blind, you know, there are plenty of those. But I don't think enough. Anyway, when the election results came in, they gave me 5% of the vote or something like that. They said I got half the number of votes this year in a general election compared to a closed primary 2 years ago. It's not even laughable. I mean, it's ludicrous. And so I've never conceded. And I sort of just thought, well, let's wait and see what the election experts start saying. And there's a couple of reports that have come out already, one by Lulu Freistadt in Truthout. And that was an interesting report. It talks about 11,000 undervotes. So 11,000 people in my district who voted for other races decided not to vote in my congressional race. And that's easily double the percentage of undervotes of any other congressional district, I think, in the state. You know, some people have tried to blame it on ballot design, but, you know, they voted in the Senate race, which was just above us on the ballot. It couldn't have been ballot design. There's some precincts where 1,000 to 2,000 people voted for senator governor candidates, and nobody voted for anybody in my race. It's ludicrous. And the experts think that this is related to software manipulation. And 97,000 people who cast ballots for Wasserman Schultz were supposed to believe. We don't know how or when they voted. The supervisor's office breaks down the vote. They're one of four ways that you could vote. Vote by mail, like an absentee ballot, the early voting, election day, or provisional. And for 97,000 of Wasserman Schultz's votes, it's 0000. No provisionals, early vote, election day, or absentees, but she gets the votes anyway. And the experts think that this is is a telltale sign of exchanging votes, of transferring votes from one candidate to another. So it has all the earmarks of computer manipulation, and on a big way. And it's interesting, the first time around in 2016, there's also indications that it was a flip of the vote. And they had me lose by 13 percentage points, which to a lot of people was believable. As a first-time candidate going against the head of the DNC, even though our field numbers showed me running away with it at the very end. So I never really kind of believed it in my gut. But this time they didn't even try to be believable. Giving me something like 5% was definitely a punishment. It was meant to stop me from seeking a recount. They gave me the finger, and anybody who's running as an independent and has a serious chance to win will now be told you can't buck the two-party system. So that's where we're at. This is where things are at right now, and there's a lot of people investigating, and we've gotten evidence that the chain of custody of the paper ballots fell apart, not surprising with Brenda Snipes, that there were modems used on the tabulation machines and the scanning machines, and those modems basically also destroy the chain of custody of the vote, any ballot that's passed through those scanning machines.
Well, how can we even rectify this at this point? You almost need a do-over.
Well, that's actually where I've come out on this. And part of the reason I say that is because if I sought a recount, and of course it'll be hard to get a recount just because I'm way down at 5% in the polls, but there is a lot of evidence now that you can't trust, the chains of custody, and there's a lot of statistical evidence that there was something amiss. Even if we got a recount, I wouldn't trust a paper ballot recount right now because the chain of custody, we had a video of how they were unloading ballots the night of the election from private vehicles and loading them onto a rented truck. And that video went viral and got a couple of million people watching it. And of course, the Republicans jumped all over it. So, there are some Democrats and some progressives out there who are aggravated with me because I'm talking about Snipes and her corruption and how flawed this election is. And they were worried or they feel that that was somehow an attack on Andrew Gillum and Bill Nelson, the two Democrats who were running for governor and senator here. I don't buy that. I'm not responsible for their campaigns. Nothing I've said or done is jeopardizing their
count. Doesn't matter. Whoever wins, but exactly. If there's corruption in the election, you can't have corruption in elections and believe in our democracy.
Exactly.
And right now, we have serious questions about our elections, and our democracy is on the fence here.
No doubt about it. And, back to the recount, if they did a machine recount, I wouldn't trust that. If they rigged the machines on election day, of course, they're capable of rigging it again. The lesson I learned from a lot of this is, and I kind of felt it in my gut to begin with, because I've been for the 100% paper ballot, counted by hand in public for a long time. But a lot of these election integrity folks, they're so well-meaning, they work so hard. But, they perpetuate sort of this myth that somehow we can audit and monitor these machines. I don't believe that at all. I think those people who take care of the software of these machines, they're private companies. We can't inspect their software. And
it's not transparent. There's no way, unless the software itself is transparent. And then we know that particular algorithm was what was used, because you can even switch out the algorithms.
Exactly.
I don't trust any of that.
No. I've been saying that we should invalidate this election, and we're looking into
start over.
And, my feeling is they should invalidate the primary, which I wasn't in, and the general election, that any election that was administered by Snipes, who my attitude is she's a felon. She hasn't been convicted of a felony, but the civil court found that she essentially committed felony. She admitted it in videotaped deposition. We have documentary evidence that was produced during the litigation. Why she was left in office is ridiculous. This woman destroyed ballots. She tampered with evidence. Why would anyone trust anything from this office? in Broward. I don't trust any election result announced in Broward at all, particularly in light of what they did in this past election with me. And many people here don't. I know the Republican candidates who ran for this seat and lost in the primary, two very strong candidates, and we were surprised they lost to a very weak candidate in our estimation.
In your opinion, was that set so that a weak candidate would go against Schultz, Wasserman? That's, Schultz?
It's a distinct possibility. Distinct possibility, yeah.
Because she wouldn't win. I mean, unless you find somebody who's really bad, you're not going to, anybody who should be able to beat her.
Well, you know, the thing is, this district has about 23% of the registered voters here are Republican. And, you know, when you got Donald Trump in the White House and all this fear of Republicans, I don't think a Republican could have necessarily beaten her. But
that makes sense.
In a three-way race with Wasserman, Schultz, and myself, we thought Carlos Reyes perhaps would be the strongest candidate as a Republican, and perhaps he could have won a three-way race. It would have been a much different race, I think, in our mind. And Reyes lost to Joe Kaufman, who's the perennial Republican candidate and loser, and with each campaign ends up with more money in his campaign account. He doesn't seem to spend any money, and he coasts to victory. So, you know, everything seems very fishy here in Broward County. It needs a real cleaning out. I think first things first, even before we talk about filing for maybe nullifying the election or invalidating the elections, once this recount is complete, and I don't know when that'll be, because I'm talking about for the governor's race and the Senate race in particular, could be, you know, days of hand recounts. I don't know. But once that's complete, I would really hope the governor will finally do what he should have done 6 months ago and fire Brenda Snipes, and hopefully not just Brenda Snipes, but all of her directors. There's corruption in this office, I'm convinced. And there's corruption all over Broward County, from school board to the sheriff's department to the county commission, you name it. But the linchpin of it is this supervisor's office. When you can rig elections, you can keep bad players, bad actors in government, in all of these local government agencies. And I'm not the only one saying this. Republicans have been saying it for a long time.
Everybody says this.
Yes, absolutely. And the Parkland shooting really started stripping away a lot of, you could say, the bark off the tree for the school board and the sheriff's department. They've come under a lot of scrutiny, and you know, but they don't necessarily have to face tough elections if they've got a friend in the supervisor of elections office. So, you know, I think the governor has to fire her and her entire staff, and even below the top staff levels. I think they need a real thorough cleaning out and criminal investigation. I have been calling for prosecution of Snipes and Dozell Spencer, one of her top directors, who actually carried out her order to destroy the ballots. They both admitted to the destruction in videotaped depositions. I think if you don't use the criminal law and you don't enforce it like this, it's just going to invite this kind of corruption to continue.
Have you heard of anybody being prosecuted for election fraud?
No.
That's why we're in the situation we're in.
Absolutely. And I spoke out a lot about this a lot in the last year and a half or so. I circulated a petition a while ago asking for criminal investigations of not just Snipes, but the New York City Board of Elections for the 2016 presidential primary. They purged 200,000 citizens from their voting rolls in the days before the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton primary. And they end up with a consent decree, a civil consent decree, where the Board of Elections admits what they did and promises never to do it again.
Well, and wasn't Wasserman Schultz really behind all that? She was the head of the DNC.
She was the head of the DNC. She's got a cousin who's high up at the Van voter database. And, you know, when you look at who was purged in that 2016 primary, isn't it a little strange that they were all likely Bernie Sanders voters and not Hillary voters?
Well, isn't go ahead.
Yes, it implies a degree of coordination between the New York City Board of Elections and the DNC and the Van.
Well, isn't that what they're doing in these elections? Suddenly, all these votes are coming up for Democrat.
Yes, I know.
It's like, okay, we found a couple boxes, but suddenly they're all Democrat.
Exactly.
Well, there has to be a percentage. I mean, whatever the normal percentage is what you should find.
Well, but the thing is, the fact that they're being found in Broward and not other counties, and Broward is such a blue bastion in this state. It's the bluest county and a big county. So, even if the numbers are overwhelmingly Democrat, it might make sense that they are. But it doesn't mean that ballots are legitimate ballots, though. You know, anyone who's going to destroy ballots and tamper with ballots is capable of creating new ballots, printing new ballots up. So I can understand why the Republicans are very suspicious of Snipes and the motives of the election officials here to maybe tip the elections for governor and senator. And, you know, I say that, and of course, my progressive friends who are Democrats get irate about it, that I'm helping, you know, making a deal with the devil and all of this garbage.
Could they be so ignorant, though, that it's not corrupt there? Or do they not care? Well, as long as they win, they don't care if it's corrupt.
You know, I remember speaking with a good progressive friend here during the Kavanaugh hearings. And it was early in the hearings, and I hadn't been paying a lot of attention. We were so busy with the campaign. And somebody was, you know, urging me to come out with a statement condemning Kavanaugh for the allegations against him by Dr. Ford. And I said, well, don't we need to find wait and see if there's something to the allegations? And because I don't think they'd even had a hearing yet. And the answer was, it doesn't matter. If it'll get Kavanaugh out, that's all that matters. And it's the same attitude here. It doesn't matter if there's election fraud going on in Broward, as long as the result is to make sure that Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis don't get into office. And, you know, I'm not a fan of some of these Republican politicians here. I think Rick Scott failed as a governor in a basic duty, which was to enforce the law, the rule of law, and root out public corruption when he failed to fire Brenda Snipes. So what kind of senator will he be? So I'm not a fan of him. And yet you have to you can't be result oriented. If you're for election integrity, it's about having a fair, transparent and verifiable vote. And if you have all that, then you have confidence in that the result is legitimate, and let the chips fall where they may. I personally believe if you had paper ballots counted by hand in public, you'd have a lot of anti-establishment candidates winning, whether they were Republicans or Democrats.
Well, I just think the rule of law, not supporting the rule of law, just goes against what they claim they believe. I mean, how That's can right. you believe that? You know, Ellison won in Minnesota, which I don't know how that's possible, because, you know, they were so against the Kavanaugh thing. But Ellison had, his girlfriend had police reports, she had hospital visits. I mean, there was actual evidence there.
There were photographs of photographs of black eyes and stuff, right?
Yeah, but they didn't care.
Right, I know.
How hypocritical is that? How can you claim that you care about women and then support that?
So my question is this, because here's my question. How's the voting conducted in Minnesota?
There are elections. I don't know. I don't trust
voting
anything.
If there are voting machines there, and I'm sure there are.
It's a blue wave.
It's a blue wave, I suppose. That's one way to look at the vote that brought Ellison in.
But no, I don't see it like that. I don't know. I don't think our people are as Ellison. I can see other people maybe winning. I don't see how Jason Lewis lost. I think there is something there. I don't see how Ellison won. I mean, unless we're all idiots. I mean, honestly, it comes to the ends justify the means. But there was a little kid in Florida who could get hacked into the voting machine in less than 10 seconds.
An 11-year-old girl. So 99% of the machines in this country are insecure, according to the election experts who came here, and we had a forum in September, that 99% of these machines, it's capable of being manipulated by software, altering the software. So, you know, my attitude is probably what's happening in Florida, or quite possibly, is that all the red counties, you know, the Republicans are rigging the software to run up the score for Republican candidates. Blue counties, it's the Democratic supervisors that are allowing the rigging of software. I'm not saying that Brenda Snipes rigged it. She's looking the other way while some software developers are doing
it
probably.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And they run up the score there. So Minnesota's a blue state. Who knows what's happening with the software there? I'll tell you this. I've run twice now. I'm a tenured law professor. I don't need the job in Congress. I have a good job here. And I disrupted my life and I spent my life savings on all this. Why would I run again for any public office as long as there are electronic voting machines?
As you can't trust the elections.
Exactly. And I've gotten to the point where I got to seriously wonder if I should even bother voting again.
That's where people are coming to, and that's what makes it sad. That means we're just a banana republic. We're not any better than any third world country. Now, let me ask you, you had Daniel Wolf down there, and he had some stories of his own problems, you know, police interference and all sorts of stuff, just trying to do their job.
Yeah, there was a lot of those stories, not just from Daniel Wolf, but from others as well. Police interference, poll tapes that went missing soon after the election results were posted. And we've had to deal with those kinds of, you know, problems from the first campaign to this one. I personally don't think that's how the elections are stolen here. I think it's really stolen through the machine, and everything else is sort of window dressing. If the police are roughing up observers and kicking out observers from watching election sites, that'll get a lot of the attention of people, and it'll distract them from what's happening with the software. Nobody really talks about the software. And, you know, I don't think anyone would care much about my ballot destruction case. They didn't for the first day after my loss last week, but it was only when the Senate and governor's races crashed in Broward County and Brenda Snipes was, you know, conspicuous in her either corruption or ineptitude or both, that suddenly, unfortunately, it was mostly Fox News, MSNBC and CNN. They don't want to hear this.
No, of course not. And that's where you realize the media just isn't, they don't care about it. No. It gets back to the Ellison thing. It was just ridiculous. Now, the one thing about Daniel Wolf, because I had him on my show last week about, because they have this whole system of just being able to show, you know, integrity of the process, and they're trying this out because they want to get it in every swing state to be able to prove. And so if they have police interference, they're not able to create anything that they can prove because they're interfering with their ability to do their job.
It's true. You know, we had a lot of hopes that Democracy Counts would have a very robust audit. At the end of the day, they were underfunded and they weren't able to even cover enough precincts, or hardly any, to get the kind of data that we needed. So that was disappointing. I think it's a good model they have, although it does depend on the idea that they can. Well, let me say this. The Democracy Counts audit is to audit voters as they come out after they voted, to record their vote. They ask two questions. Who you voted for. Who you voted for. And then the second question is, and that's an anonymous question, so they're not revealing their identities. And then the second question, where they sign an affidavit, is, did you just answer that first question consistent with how you voted in the voting booth? And as long as they say yes, the affidavit then holds up in court, and the numbers that they aggregate from the first question is what is a vital part of the audit. The thing is, part of the Democracy Counts model is to record these things on a smartphone. And that's assuming that the smartphones can't be hacked by bad actors as well. And that's what I was always a little bit concerned or skeptical about. Ultimately, I don't think there's any substitution for 100% hand-marked paper ballots counted by hand in public and reported immediately on election night in public. That's how they do it in Canada, Great Britain, Germany, Netherlands, you name it, all those European democracies. They realized a long time ago that these electronic voting machines are inherently susceptible to hacking and to software manipulation. So they have simply banned those electronic voting machines, and they do it the old-fashioned way, the way we used to do it. Yeah.
I think that's the only way we can get there. And then and in public on video, so on camera,
right.
So people can watch it. There's no harassment. Everybody gets to go and vote, because back in the day, people would be restricted, but they weren't on video. But now we can have them all being captured live,
exactly.
Public. That would solve our problem. But without that, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I think so. So I don't think we have a democracy. I really don't. I think we have elections. The Soviet Union had elections. It wasn't a democracy. Saddam Hussein had elections. It wasn't a democracy. We have the spectacle of a democracy with the corporate media playing up the horse race. And, you know, we have elections, but they're rigged elections, I believe. I just don't, or I shouldn't say every one of them's rigged, but we don't know which ones are and which ones aren't. So you compared it to a banana republic. Look, we've got such a top-heavy distribution of income, wealth, and power that it looks like those banana republics. And I just don't think this is a functioning democracy at all, and I don't think it has been for a while.
Well, what do you think about the fact that so many of these elections, they spend so much money? Why would they spend so much money if they can rig it anyways? And you talked about the Wasserman Schultz. She didn't even show up. She knew it was rigged. Yeah. But right. Some of these elections, they'll just spend millions. And I still question the results of it, but they're spending millions. Do you think that's legit? Are they really spending millions, or are they just acting like they? And why, if they can all fix them?
Because there's so many powerful interests that want to spend that money. You've got the big corporations that are funding the lobbyists. The lobbyists want that money to come to them, and the corporations are budgeting it in, you could say. And then the political consultants, from the pollsters to the media consultants to those who are printing up the campaign paraphernalia, the literature, you name it. These are real industries that have grown up around campaigns. There's a lot of money being spent, and yet the people's voices are being excluded anyway.
Yeah, it makes it's this big circus, a charade.
Yeah.
It makes it seem real. So now what are you going to do? Are you going to keep fighting for this thing to be just redone? Because at this point, that's the only thing that would be legit.
Yeah, I think so. And, we're moving in that direction. I'm talking with some lawyers, and we've got a lot of volunteers who are stepping up and beginning to knock on doors of voters to get affidavits. And in some of these districts where nobody voted at all in the congressional
give
race.
Give me a break.
Or all the votes went to Wasserman Schultz and I got like next to none. And some of these are my strongholds. So it might not take that much effort to get affidavits from, even if we just scratch the surface, it'll blow away the official numbers. So we're gathering evidence. We're looking into the statistical studies that are being done. And we're studying the law to see if we have a legitimate chance to invalidate the election and to call for a revote. If we go down that road, I would like to see the court order a revote under its equitable powers to order that the revote take place with paper ballots counted by hand in public. I really don't want to go through a revote and be at the mercy of the machine again.
Yeah, well, yeah, because then it's just we're doing the same thing and wasting our time.
Yeah. Right.
I agree with you 100%. Now, one of the tweets that came out, who claims to have videoed all the stuff and is a witness, came from this Kim Picazio person. And she's claiming to be this witness that saw that all the stuff was legit for the Democrats. And she was there and went, and I know for a fact that she is not a good character. So there's some weird stuff going on there too.
Oh, and I'll tell you, just in the past month or two of the campaign, people who had been supportive of me for the past 3 years suddenly viciously were attacking me on Twitter. And and it's amazing how many people, it's not a lot of people, but it only takes a few. I've sold out to be working for the coordinated campaign, as they called it, essentially working for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And so there are bad actors, and I try not to let that bother me. You can't.
Gotta fight this. This is important for our democracy. Actually, if you can get this turned into a hand count, that would be an important win for our democracy, because you could prove that Broward County, the most corrupt armpit place in the country, can be cleaned up.
Yep. We're trying, and we really do need some help, I hope, from law enforcement. I think we have a better chance of getting a court to invalidate the election if Snipes is actually charged with crimes. And I don't see, Pam Bondi, the Florida Attorney General, under pressure from Republicans in the past week, it was reported that she finally got around to asking the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the police arm, to start investigating Snipes. And I put out an open letter to Pam Bondi and said, thank you for doing that. However, we've already done an investigation over the last 2 years. We've uncovered through documentary evidence, videotaped depositions, and a court's order that Snipes violated state law, committed felonies, and so did one of her directors, Dozell Spencer. You don't have to wait, Ms. Bondi. You can charge her today.
You have the facts. It's all and they were embarrassed. It was like they get embarrassed. And that's how the power of the people, the power of the media can make them do things because she was embarrassed. But they have people have to know that there's a blackout on that, yeah. And people have to know. And I truly hope your stuff. Now, how can people help you around the country?
We do need help. First of all, we spent a lot of money in the campaign. Even when I say a lot of money for a grassroots campaign, you know, we have some campaign debts we want to clear out. So folks could come online to timkonova.com. Small donations are adding up and people are stepping up and it's helping us pay down this debt. You know, I put all my life savings into this. I don't expect really at the end of the day to raise enough money from this to retire the debt to myself, so to speak. That's not what this is about at all. If in another week or so, if we have a big announcement that we're seeking to go to court to challenge the election, at that point, it'll be very important for grassroots folks around the country to go online and to donate to us. And if that happens, we'll have a special earmarked account for basically the litigation and the fight against to invalidate the vote. So we need that kind of support financially, but we also need the word to get around. And that's why what you're doing, I think, is so important. The mass media has been blacking us out. We had a few days where Fox was interested in the story. Who knows if they'll stay interested in it enough to interview me. I'll go on any outlet just about, whether it's Fox or, you know, MSNBC, CNN, or wherever on the spectrum it is. I reject that kind of criticism that I should somehow censor myself. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But we can't count on the mainstream media. You know, social media has to step up. And a lot of folks like you have been having us on and spreading the word. And that's what's got to happen. There's so many people who, you know, they'll pick up the paper or they'll go online and they'll see the official result and they'll see Konova got 5% and they'll believe it. Because why? Because they read it in the Sun Sentinel.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous that people would at this point.
They have to wake up and realize that this is not the truth, that there is a conspiracy there. That's a conspiracy to brainwash people into thinking things are legit when they're not.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I think everybody has a responsibility, whether you have a live stream like you do to spread the word. People who don't, they need to spread the word in their own ways, whether it's on social media or just dinner table conversations, talking to their loved ones, talking to their neighbors. People have to realize the machines are rigged. How widespread it is, I have no idea, but in any given election, they could be. And that alone, that uncertainty that it creates, is what undermines the faith and confidence in the election results, and deservedly so. So people need to spread the word about this. You know, I've been hashtagging Rage Against the Machine. You know, we've got to destroy this machine, literally, the voting machines. It's an enormous industry now. It holds a lot of clout with legislators at the state and federal level, and that's a big machine to fight. But I think a lot of folks don't believe these election results. It's time for the people to rise up and to say enough with these machines. We have to take back the election process, and that I mean by that the counting of the ballots. It has to be citizens who are counting the ballots in public. And if that happens, I do think, one, the election results will be much different. You won't just get these corporate shills winning all the time, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. And it'll be good for civic engagement, and people will be more aware of what's happening than they are now.
Well, thank you. And what's your website?
It's timkonova.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, and keep fighting, because we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me on.
Get this vital 30-page ebook from Drs. Ryan Wolfert and Isaac Jones, How to Avoid and Heal the Toxic Brain and Learn Proven Natural Solutions to Overcoming Brain Diseases and Disorders. The first step toward healing and preventing brain disorders is to understand where you're encountering toxins. Identifying and eliminating them is essential to healing and reversing brain diseases. This 30-page ebook will walk you through your kitchen and all the various ways it can hurt you and how to protect yourself. Plus, it will provide you with a list of 8 superfoods to help you become superhuman. And be sure to join us on December 3rd for the start of the free online Superhuman Brain Masterclass. Over 30 experts gather to provide you with proven solutions to heal and upgrade your brain to high performance for life. Click the link below to get immediate access to the 30-page ebook, How to Avoid and Heal the Toxic Brain. And get started on better health today.